is an abbreviation right after the content and the object and plan, and it lists the abbreviations before it gets you there. Unfortunately, they don't give a page number, but when the page starts, they start on page 1, they start at page 10, and go back 2 pages. The abbreviation. Okay, particularly, is that in everybody? Anybody have that? Those of you that don't have it. Don't worry about it. But there is an abbreviation, this abbreviation simplifies things. Particularly at the bottom, whenever you see a word that starts with this, sometimes you'll have this under it, sometimes you'll have this beside it, sometimes you'll have this under it. All this is and all its combination, just the word and, the prefix to the front, and you'll see that throughout a lot, and it's kind of confusing if you don't know what that is. So if you run across that, but the main use of it, if you look up the word, you know, find it in the interlinear, and then without trying to identify it, you don't really need to identify it, because the interlinear will pretty much show you what part of speech it is, whether it's a noun or a verb or an adjective. But if you go straight across, it will give you the dictionary form, and that dictionary form, then you can go to any of your lexicon concordance or say. It's in brackets, square brackets, means the that form doesn't exist in the other system. The rest of it, you see, it's a little archaic terminology. Whenever you see B-R-E-D, short for predator, anyway, P-R-E-D-E-R-I-T-E. That's the same as the perfect. So predator equals the perfect. And the imperfect is.
And then Daniel, chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 7, verse 21. That's the biggest chunk. And then Jeremiah 10, 11. So that gives you the kind of why that and why. Briefly then, where I left off, under electrical analysis, and we were going over the three steps in achieving the goal of electrical analysis, identify and solve an electrical problem. These are the three steps we go through. And the first was finding a word. We gave four ways, and then identifying the form. This involved parsing and checking its cognates. Now, before we go any further, I want to give you a list of terminology that we're going to help. So have it all in one shot. You can leave the list open and add to it a few more. It's not in any particular order of importance or anything, it just says they came up. The first would be linguistic analysis, L-I-N-G-U-I-S-T-I-C, linguistic analysis, which is just simply the grammatical analysis of the language. A linguist as a vocation would be somebody who studies various languages, the analyzing the various languages for common, what they have in common. So with a view to understanding various languages, not just one particular language. Lexicology or lexicography or lexicology is not study of the meaning of terms, words. Lexicographer, getting the cog, would be one then who would study languages with the view of primarily of formulating an lexicon or dictionary. So your lexicographer would be a compiler of all lexicon. Gave you morphology, M-O-R-P-H-O-L-O-G-Y, for the study of morphemes, M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E-S. And morphemes are the smallest unit of meaning, breaking down words to the smallest parts of meaning, so that would include prefixes and suffixes. In contrast to morphology, the phonology, P-H-O-N-O-L-O-G-Y, which would be the study of the sound of information. We use this a lot more in English than we do in Greek. We say a lot with etymology, E-T-Y-M-O-L-O-G-Y, the study of the root origins and development of words.
syntax involves the function of words in relation to each other. Concepts or feelings that are associated with them are called reference, R-E-F-E-R-E-N-T-S. This is getting a little bit of logic for my symbol, what the symbol symbolizes, the terminology is the reference, what it refers to. Symbols are a reference of what the concepts and feelings are, just like a map gives to a location, a location that gives you information about it. Right. All mathematics and logic fall into here. Logic okay, parsing. Just to identify the form of the word. Now in a term, I left out the last. A term and a word is a verbal symbol or a written representation. Marks out a field of meaning in that particular territory, specifying a particular field of meaning in contrast to other fields of meaning. This gets important later on in the work there. Okay, the field of meaning at any given time is what the users of that symbol do with it at that time. So, like, if they're home run with their meaning now, it's totally. Field of meaning at any given time is what the users of the symbol do with it at that time. Do it with the word. collection of these symbols, together with customary procedures for combining them, what we call language. Symbol collection together, and customary procedures at that particular time for combining them, which would be in language, and this would involve impact. For our purposes, then, the meaning of a word is discovered by what we would call word study, which is lexicography. Okay? Let's take a second here. This is just a list that we can add to as you go along to something more. Okay? Second category, first was finding and identifying the word. The second would be discovering the meaning of a word or words. Okay, this is lexicography or lexicology. It's also involved in semantics. Okay, the goal of lexicography or word study. The reason I give you these words is because you see them in books and a lot of things. It's good to separate in your mind to know where one area leads off and where you're going. Now we're on number two. Okay, we're on number two. The first category that I gave you into achieving the goal of analysis here we're talking about, lexical analysis, involves three steps. First was finding and identifying the word. Second was discovering the meaning of a word or words in the verse that we're looking at. So then the goal of a word study in the lexicology is to determine the actual meaning of that word in a given context used by the author at that time. The goal of the word study is to determine the actual meaning of that word in a given context used by the author at that time. It's important that time is important. Language changes, so if you don't know the context in which it's given, you've got to spread a lot of theology to try to discover that. Okay, now this can be done in one of three ways. We're talking about discovering the meaning. There's what we call lexical study, just looking the word up in a lexicon. That's the surest way. What does the lexicographer say about the word? And he's done a historical study, and he knows, he's a specialist, he's an expert. Okay, so that's the first, the surest way. The second, the concordance study, which is longer, but it gives you how the Holy Spirit is in Scripture. And in doing a concordance study, you start with the author, the particular book that he wrote, if you wrote more than one book, and then expand out to other books that he wrote, and then do the entire New Testament for that particular generative literature, like in the Gospels, both the Gospels, the rest of the Gospels, before you go to the New Testament. General principles, you probably stick to the author first, but then you look in the context of the literature that was written during that time, in particular, most of it written during that time. Apocalypse is kind of a category by itself. But basically, we're talking about concordant study. And for Greek, the best is all we did for a Greek student, or New English, which is key to strong English. New Englishman, from what I understand, does not have the index in the back, but you don't need it.
case. The third way would be a personal inductive study. Goal study involves the longest, but the most thorough, the most fruitful, generally, if you've got time to do it.
Very good.
by Cole Brown, the chairman of the He's written a lot of work for him. No, but this, he was responsible for the approach to eliminate a lot of the lack of terminology garbage in the Hibbles work that just, I think that they have wasted a lot of the Thank you.
Bring up one little under etymology, which we call the root fallacy. There's a danger in overemphasizing roots too much. There's still a doctrine on roots. You can go to, there's two ditches, one throws it out altogether. Etymology is a waste of time. You have to just go by what the word meant. People, the time doesn't matter how the word has formed. The other groups say, well, it's inspired, and so they push it to its ultimate limit and ignore the historical context. They say the Holy Spirit overrode what it could have meant to them, and so we don't go by what it meant to them. We go by what the root of it is. And somewhere between those two extremes right balance. The example of how that can get you in trouble is the concordant people do this excessively. I mean, that's one of their main tenets. To the degree that they build a whole theology on there being no eternal punishment because of their study of the word ion. Ion can age. Ionios mean an adjective can't be more than the noun that it comes from. So they ignore what it could have meant to the people at the time and say that, and nowhere else does an adjective mean more than the noun that it comes from, and it's only referring to it as eternal punishment, etc. It's only referring to age-long punishment. And you get the reason itself to dread. And you can't refute them from strictly grammatical grounds. You can only refute them from inner scripture. As the quote, like where it talks about God in Romans, Paul saying, "May the eternal God bless you," teaching and so forth. Paul, they say, well, sure, Paul's referring on the fact that he's the God of the ages, and also, God of all time. Well, he's talking about here in this context, so they can wiggle out of that. But they can't wiggle out of the canon of Scripture. That's the best approach to most of their arguments. But they do things like that. In other words, too, where they build a whole document on the root idea of a word and ignore historical. And so we do a lot of that. I think we have a good balance for the most part. But there is being decent, and so I just want to make it clear. Another group to do that too. In some cases, it's real valid and it fits perfectly. Like the place that it's called out, you know, the context fits everything too, like what it's used in the New Testament. But other groups can get you in trouble if you don't double check and make sure what the correct usage of the term was at the same time. Sometimes it changes. Okay, there's the etymology there. I mentioned ecclesia, which here we're talking about a word and a prefix or a suffix, where you've got a combination of a prefix or a suffix added to another word to make a new word. Okay, ecclesia, where you've got kaleo to call out and ek out of. So kaleo to call and ek out of. Sometimes there's nifty little aids that there's certain roots that always have the same family meaning. That's why it's one of the values of cognate study. For example, all the words that have the root in them, we're looking at the other day, dick, dickios, etc., always have the connotation of just or right. And so that family, any of the combinations of prefixes, suffix is added onto it, it may change somewhat, but it has this overall root that it's building on. And then checking into context is always used that with description. So there's a case where a root study really helps understand other words that may not be easily defined, but by knowing the family, you can get a fair idea of the direction that the word's going in.
Thank you.
word of the bill. Very frequently, we use that. Also, according to the part two, it's where it's classified according to the those two. Okay, we talked about the historical study. We're still under two personal vector study now, two steps. That, are there any questions? Historical study and contextual study. Okay, well, the historical study, we're under etymology. And the second part of this, under etymology, would be literature outside of the New Testament. So after you did an etymological study, or whatever light you could get out of that, and whatever questions were brought up, you know, it helped at all, but, you know, stuff you go through on it. Then you check literature outside the New Testament. Now you can break it down into periods. I've got a handout. I think I'm going to wait until next week to get into this because it gives you, making up one that gives you each period of the usage of the term and then the reference words that are appropriate for each section. So if you've got any questions, I'm going to stop right there and then we'll use the rest of the time. So we'll stay under this section right here. I'll finish this up probably the first part of next week, and then we'll go over the assignment. Are there any questions on the assignment? And we'll finish that. That should finish up the section on. You got me. Six meetings, and we've got two next week, right? We have to do
that. I'm trying to do Tuesday?
Wednesday.
Right. Yeah, Wednesday. I think you're going to be out of town.
Well, I'll get together with you on the side. Yeah, we've got 2, 4, 6, 8 meetings left, and so
I think that's right. The time is Wednesday, so probably I'll finish this up Tuesday, and then I'll take the rest of next Tuesday, and I'll take the Hebrew lexicon and we'll go through that a little more in detail. Most everyone probably benefit by that, and then. then from the Greek, if there's, you should really be able to, you may be able to go back and reconstruct it out of your Greek orientation of it. But you really should get that down. That along with being able to pick up variants is so important, because that's the only tool you've got really to identify and get you into a lot of other references. You could be in a position to where you might be teaching older ladies and you might want to really be sharp with what you know. Talk to Terry Myers about that. But as time goes on, you know, I'm sure, you know, the guy's going to raise up some more endeavors too. And I think one of the things I know is a bunch of women in really good position. I think I was going to be there to But if you can use the lexicon, that'll open, that's the big key to opening up all the references. Both the Hebrew and the Greek.
Which is
interesting,
because I think
that I don't remember, probably Baldwin Bible College or what. But it's just a little hint, you know, nothing special except that it just gives you a form. Detailed study, you want to break all the words down and give you a glance at what every word, the function of every word is that you're looking at. Any other questions? How about on this analytical lexicon, let me mention one thing on this. The Greek one, the blue one I started with, it came out in 1977, I guess, the Baxter edition. The only main difference is that it corrected mistakes. Added information in where they felt the text had been changed by a student method that wouldn't have been otherwise. But what's important for our purposes is in the back, the very back, it gives you an addenda. This addenda is words that were accidentally omitted in the original lexicon. If you look up a word, you can't find it in the lexicon, in the regular main part of it, or whatever copy you've got, which is probably the older copy. This gives you a little agenda here of 5 pages of quite a few entries that were omitted in the original.
Yeah, we're past that.
I hope.
I'll put that in the box.